James St. Luke's. Here are the announcements for today. Thank you to everybody who attended one of our listening sessions yesterday afternoon. We're going to have another one next weekend on Saturday, September 5th. So if you missed the first one, or if it was so much fun you want to do it again, please see the information in the posting and in the bulletin and sign up for our listening session. And we look forward to hearing from you. This week marks a changing of the guard on our vestry. So new vestry members that we elected back in February at the annual meeting will be taking their term of office starting September 1st. That is Kevin Hawkins and Amy Allen and Dixie Clark. So thank you to them for coming on board. And that means three vestry members are also going off. That will be Kathy Klein, Scott Paquette, and myself. So on behalf of the three of us, I want to thank you for this opportunity to serve St. Luke's. And personally, I want to thank you for the opportunity to serve as your senior warden. It has been an honor and a privilege, and one for which I will always be grateful. I've been sharing the role of senior warden with Bruce Watts, so he'll be taking the reins over from here. The vestry is in continued talks with the diocese about our interim candidate, and we hope to have somebody to introduce to you in the next coming weeks. So that's very exciting. Look forward to that announcement. Our preacher this morning is the Reverend Julie Weiss. Thank you to Julie for being with us yet again. And everybody, enjoy the service and have a beautiful Sunday. Send out your light and your truth, that they may lead me and bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Psalm 43, verse 3.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on us, forgive us all our sins, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen.
Lord of all power and might, the author and giver of all good things, graft in our hearts the love of your name, increase in us true religion, nourish us with all goodness, and bring forth in us the fruit of good works. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Almighty God, look graciously on the people of St. Luke's Church. Be with us in this season of transition. Walk with us and guide us that we may be genuine in our self-reflection, tireless in our commitment, patient in our discernment, loving in our communion, open in our search, and daring in our faith. We thank you for the gifts, talents, and skills with which you have blessed us. We thank you for the experiences that have brought us to this moment. Help us accept change as a gift of your direction for our journey in this transition. Instill in us a vision for our parish that, guided by your Holy Spirit, we will be united in love and joyfully accomplish this mission. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
A reading from the book of Exodus. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why this bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Come no closer, remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. He said further, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them out of the land into the good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, and I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? He said, I will be with you, and this shall be a sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain. But Moses said to God, If I come to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. He said further, Thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Thus you shall say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this my title for all generations. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Psalm 105. Give thanks to the Lord and call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, and speak of all of his marvelous works. Glory in his holy name, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Search for the Lord and his strength, continually seek his face. Remember the marvels he has done, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth. O offspring of Abraham his servant, O children of Jacob his chosen. Israel came into Egypt, and Jacob became a sojourner in the land of Ham. The Lord made his people exceedingly fruitful. He made them stronger than their enemies, whose heart he turned, so that they hated his people and dealt unjustly with his servants. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. Hallelujah.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Romans. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints, extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. No. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Thank you. This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. But Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? And what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with the angels in the glory of his Father. Then he will repay everyone for what he has done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. The Gospel of the Lord. May the words of my mouth be the words that God wishes to have you hear, and may the Spirit intercede when I speak my own. Amen. Good morning once again, my friends at St. Luke's. It has been so wonderful to get to share the last 3 weeks in a row with you. Last week in my sermon, that I hope you remember, or at least will remember when reminded, we were talking about Jesus' question to the disciples about whom others thought that Jesus was, and who they, his followers, thought he was. As often happened, at least according to the scriptures we have, Peter blurted out. But this time his blurt was the truth. He says, You are the Messiah. The lectionarians choose to pause this story in this very interesting place. Peter has professed who Jesus is and is rewarded for his profession with the keys of heaven and the power to bind and loose sins. And the last line of last week's gospel reads, "Then he sternly ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah." So today we pick up the story at this point. In some ways, the lectionary often feels to me like a long-running TV show, where the end of one week's episode leaves you in suspense. Stay tuned for next week. So last week was really having Peter riding high. Today, we see Peter being called Satan by Jesus. You see, after telling the disciples to remain quiet about who he really is, he begins to explain the plan for his life. Jesus talks directly and candidly about how he is being led by the Spirit to Jerusalem, the home of the temple and the authorities, and that his message and his way of living are going to threaten the leadership to the point that they will kill him. Jesus explains that the story does not end there, however. He says that on the third day he will be raised. Peter is overwhelmed with all of this information, and much unlike the way Peter typically responds, he doesn't blurt out. Instead, he takes Jesus aside and rebukes him. He says to the one who he professed just a few moments earlier, "God forbid it, Lord." And Jesus, who moments earlier had given the keys to heaven to Peter, turns and says to him, "Get behind me, Satan," and regards Peter as a stumbling block, one who has set his mind not on divine things, but human things. This seems like quite a shift. Jesus returns to his disciples and continues to tell them what they can expect, and invites each one of them to listen deeply and to understand what is occurring in front of their eyes. Jesus explains that following will mean taking up their own crosses and even being willing to lay down their own life. Knowing that holding tightly to the earthly life makes entering the heavenly one difficult, if not impossible. Knowing and trusting that with Jesus to return and to judge all according to what they have done. He professes that this return, this coming of his kingdom, will occur before some taste death. And then we come to the end of this episode. So what is there in this gospel for us to recognize and learn from? Where did God speak most deeply to you? Where are you acting in ways that cause Jesus to rejoice? And where are you making Jesus call you Satan? These and more are the questions that I hope that you will ask yourself each and every time you open the Holy Word of God. Are you professing that Jesus is the Messiah, both with your lips and in your lives? Are you rebuking Jesus for the difficult times that we are in, or the ones that we were warned about? Are you telling God how it should be? Or maybe, like Peter, you are doing a little bit of both. I don't often do this, but today I feel quite called to speak to you about the epistle reading in more depth. As usual, perhaps this is two sermons in one, though I hope that it won't seem that way. But I think in the midst of a time like this, a time when our country and our world seem so divided over so many things, we read a letter that was written to the capital city of Rome as an area of converts and Gentiles. And we see in this portion from last week, Paul's encouragement that we understand that we are all intimately entwined, that we are all individual members of the same body, and that we all have different gifts and skills. And with those differing skills come differing thoughts and opinions. But we are all one, and we are called into action as one body, one people. Today, Paul speaks to us in clear words and a direct tone. He makes it clear that these are not suggestions, but rather this is our call from our brother and Savior, Jesus. He writes, "Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to the strangers." Now, I'm not sure about you, but when I listen to just those five verses, it seems like so much. And yet Paul continues, "Blessed are those who persecute you. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice for those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay evil for evil, but take thought in what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, and I will repay,' says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink, for by doing so you will heap coals on their head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Wow. Wow, that does sound very overwhelming. It seems virtually impossible, doesn't it? And it is, if we rely solely on ourselves, on our desires, our thoughts, our needs, our ego to accomplish it. Thank God we have someone who will gladly intercede and assist if we ask. So what is Paul getting at? What is Paul saying to us right now? How are we being called to live by Jesus and reminded by Paul? Friends, that first couple hundred years between Jesus' birth and the beginning of the Christian church was a time of many great shifts. Many of the old ways were being looked at anew, and many of the old ways of being community were no longer. This new way, this way of Jesus, called for different rules, different behavior, different investments, and different leadership. Friends, we too are in a time of great shifts. We are in a time of great uncertainty, pain, grief for so many. We are in a time that most of us have never experienced before. Our climate is changing, making wildfires, hurricanes, and storms more deadly. We have seen this in the recent dry lightning sparking hundreds of fires all at once across Northern California, many of them still burning as we gather. We see it in the two hurricanes that traveled into the Gulf of Mexico together. We prayed as only one made landfall, causing terrible destruction in its wake. And we see it, the hurricane-force winds of the storm that swept across Iowa, destroying many crops and homes. We also know that our country is changing, in many ways dividing. We see it in the new rise of the cultural awareness and in the denial of racial injustice, in the toppling of statues and the marching in the streets. We see it in the message to stay at home, to stay safe, and the fear that many have of getting sick and giving it to others more vulnerable, versus the idea that this virus is a hoax to control us. We see it in the battle over what it means to have free speech or gun ownership. We see it in the place that absolutely breaks my heart. We see it in the church. Friends, we are in the time of great shifts, the time when our families, our country, our world, and our religion will need to make decisions. I am certainly not here to tell you what those decisions for you shall be. Not for you, not for your family, your country, your world, and I am not even here to tell you what this religion called Christianity should do. But remember that this religion, Christianity, was started by a rebel rabbi named Jesus, who was acknowledged as being the Christ, the Messiah, and whose followers became known as Christians. That is what we are a part of. The following of Jesus has and always will be countercultural and on the side of love. So might I suggest that we who are to come through this shift have an opportunity to make things different in better place, in better spaces and places when we arrive. We might want to consider the words that Paul wrote to the church in Rome in the 12th chapter and pray for Jesus through the working of the Holy Spirit to bring us into that reality. Pray that we might love genuinely, outdo one another with honor, rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, and persevere in our own prayer life. Be with all as they need us. Bless those who don't like us, who don't agree with us, or who will even persecute us. Don't repay evil for evil, and do your part to live peaceably with everyone, leaving vengeance to God. If we consistently strive to do these things, asking for the wisdom and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we will not be overcome by evil, but we will overcome evil with good. Let's not let the time to change and the struggle break us. Let us be strengthened to love. Amen.
Let us say together the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary. He was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let with all our heart and mind, let us pray to God, saying, "Hear our prayer." Let us pray for God's people across the world. God of love,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for the earth, that we may her treat her gently. God of love,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for those, our family, our friends, and our neighbors. God of love,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for those who are sad or scared or are suffering. God of love,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for those who have died. God of love,
hear our prayer. We remember especially this morning Cass and John and Charles and Nancy and Steve and Kim. Who is on your heart this morning? Oh, and remember Parker too.
And it's my brother.
And Deacon.
And Mom.
And Mom.
And Mima.
And Papa.
And you.
Okay. Who is on your heart this morning? Oh God, hear the prayers of your people that we have asked faithfully. Grant that we may obtain effectually, to the glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
That was great.
Prayer for mission. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of your faithful people is governed and sanctified, receive our supplications and prayers which we offer before you for all members of your holy church, that in their vocation and ministry they may truly and devoutly serve you, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Glory to God, whose power is working in us, can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to him from generation to generation in the church, and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen.
Bless you and keep you. May God make his face to shine upon you and be good to you. And may God the Almighty keep you and give you God's grace. And may the blessing of God be so, in the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen.